So, you know as well as I do that police accountability is very, very rare. The case of Michael Brown got acquitted. One police officer was a mistrial. And it's just not common to hold police officers accountable for their actions. So when the verdict came out yesterday, and the end result of how the USA faces the future, it looks promising. Although we still got a lot of work to do, but it's promising. And it's a good sign. Before we get into that, Dura, how you feeling?
Well, cool. How about yourself,
man? I'm good. How you feel? I'm good. Just another day wrapped up.
Yeah.
So, let's get into it. Just as I was saying a few seconds ago, we talked about police accountability. It's just not there. But yesterday is a form of hope. So, with that in mind, I just want to share a few of the reactions around the sports world. LeBron James tweeted out one word, accountability, in all caps. Patrick Mahomes II, prayer emoji. Karl Anthony Towns, justice and accountability, things I never thought I would see. There's so much more work to do, but this is an amazing start working towards the reform this country needs. Bubba Wallace, justice serves on all count. Good. Still a ton of work to do. Continue to rest peacefully. Hashtag George Floyd. Trae Young, way more work to do. Ryan Clark, remember, the jurors only did the right thing. Nothing special, nothing above and beyond. They held Derek Chauvin accountable for his actions under the law. That was their job, and they did it. We are just not used to seeing it. This was a verdict we, as a country, deserves. Emmanuel Acko, you don't applaud a fish for swimming, and you don't applaud the justice system for providing justice. But thankfully today we can breathe a sigh of relief. The MBPA and the NBA executive director Michelle Roberts, along with Commissioner Adam Silver, released a joint statement. Now this is gonna take me a second because I cannot read this. It is very, very blurry. But we gonna give it a best shot. George Floyd's mother was a flashpoint on how we look at race and justice in our country. And we are pleased that justice appeared to have been served. But we also recognize that there is much work to be done in the National Basketball Association and the National Basketball Players Association. Together with our newly formed Social Justice Coalition, we'll redouble our efforts to advocate for meaningful change in the areas of criminal justice and policing. The NFL. Today's outcome in the Derek Chauvin's trial in Minneapolis does not undo the loss of life. Mr. George Floyd should be here with us today. Our hearts remain with the Floyd family, and we understand the pain, anger, frustration does not go away even when justice is delivered. Importantly, even as we identify reasons for hope, we must continue to help move our society towards a more equal and justice tomorrow. We are proud to partner with the NFL players and clubs to remain committed to do the important work needed to make change in our society. The National Hockey League came out with their statement. Give me a second, because this is blurry as well. While we hope the end of the trial offers a chance for healing, we remain committed to actively engaging in the movement for equality, and we invite our friends to join us in supporting systemic change. Major League Baseball. In the wake of today's verdict, Major League Baseball hopes to contribute to the healing process by continuing to work with our players and the MLBPA and the Players Alliance to advance the values of social justice, equality, diversity, and in conclusion. The WNBA. Kathy Engelbert released a statement saying, "This past year, we have witnessed traumatizing instances of police brutality that Black Americans disproportionately experience, with the murder of George Floyd at the forefront of the conversation. While this verdict represents a step towards justice, we are reminded that justice is too often not the outcome for people of color. The WNBA and the WNBPA, WNBPA Social Justice Council will continue its work to combat the injustice and inequality in our country, and hope this represents a true turning point on how the effects of systemic racism begin to be addressed. We stand with all those who have felt the deep impact of George Floyd's death." Let me see if I got one more here. I think I got one more, but I had to go to another page to get it. Crystal Dangerfield. "The world was watching. Accountability was the first step. They got it right. Guilty. Hashtag justice for George Floyd." The NBA on TNT put out a statement also saying that this is a step in the right direction, but we still have so much work to do. Candace Parker shared her thoughts on the conviction as well, but that is a video statement, and I have no idea what she said. So,
me neither.
Naomi Osaka also said, "I was going to make a celebratory tweet, but then I was hit with sadness because we are celebrating something that is clear as day." And she's so right on that. "The fact that so many injustices occurs to make us hold our breath towards this outcome is really telling." We did Bubba Wallace. Lewis Hamilton. "Justice for George. Blah. Justice for George. The emotions I feel right now are hard to describe. Derek Chauvin has been found guilty. This is the first time that a white officer has been convicted for killing a Black man in Minnesota. This is monumental. George's death is not in vain." Chinny Ogunwami. "The hardest part right now is that for many, while the verdict rendered guilty, the reality is that anxiety still remains." Girl, we talked about that yesterday and today.
Yeah.
"This is a marathon. Mm-hmm. This is a marathon, not a sprint. This is accountability, not absolution. A step towards justice is no longer being aspirational, but institutional." That's really actually all that I see in reactions in the sports world. What's your thought?
Excuse me. For one thing, just like many of them, they put out a strong statement
mm-hmm.
supporting how they felt about the verdict of Derek Chauvin. At this point, I'm like with other people.
Mm-hmm.
You never see nothing like this.
Right.
Never.
Yeah.
You have never seen anything like this. You expected them to be held accountable for 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
Or 1 out of 3. The smaller charge.
Mm-hmm.
And they expect you to get away with the rest of the bigger fish,
mm-hmm.
bigger issue
mm-hmm.
at hand. So to see that the jurors actually did what they needed to do, they held them accountable for all 3 counts
mm-hmm.
of this. And at this point, I feel relieved.
Yep.
I feel, at the same time, feel still disappointed because this should not be happening.
I agree.
At this moment.
Yeah.
This shouldn't be happening.
Right.
You know, and it's just like what I think the NFL put out. George Floyd should still be with us.
Yes. That was the NFL. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He still should be with us. Point blank, period. And we look at this, and his daughter actually said, hey, Daddy's going to change the world. He did.
He's doing so in so many small ways right now, and there's still a lot more work to be done. I'm just going to say that I'm happy that the family got justice, but it do not take away from the fact that he is still not with us today. What still ticks me off to this day is how people demoralized George Floyd during the trial, even before the trial, during the protest. How they demoralized him in a way that it kind of had to make you look in the mirror to think about, why is people saying this? Why did he deserve to die the way that he did? Why is people saying that this man is being held as a Moor? It's not about him being held in the highest level. It's about appreciating life that some of you suckers ain't even trying to appreciate. All because he's a black man. That's what, 6'4", 220 maybe? And you guys are making it seem like that celebrating the bad man's life in y'all, so to speak, term, that it's not okay. And it really is, because he's still a human. He still made mistakes, just like the rest of us. He has addictions, just like the rest of us. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of ticked me off, that I would see people slander him in a way that he shouldn't be slandered, because nobody else wants to be slandered that way. Why are y'all doing it? That's just my thoughts.
And you know what's even funnier? Since you mentioned that, I know people watch that trial. And when you said thing you talked about people demoralizing George Floyd, they did the exact same thing to the witnesses. Demoralized them.
Sure did.
Because they witnessed what they saw.
Yeah.
Proof of what they saw. Pure witnesses. Mm-hmm. And just demoralize them too. And it's like, why would y'all feel that it's okay to demoralize these people because of what they saw? And so now you're trying to change this whole ordeal. Why would y'all do that?
Exactly. Yeah.
That kind of got my attention too.
Yeah.
You mentioned demoralized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But other than that, I'm happy about, you know, getting justice for George Floyd nonetheless. So I'm very happy about that. We just got to continue to put in the work. And I'm putting in the work for many other different people right now to kind of help with, you know, this moving progress in protesting in a way that I know that is safe and that it's reliable and it can be put out. So, yeah, anything else on that? All right, we'll be right back with the Sports Talk About podcast. We'll be right back.
You know, we just mentioned and we just talked about, you know, justice for George Floyd. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kind of in a sense, it's like, well, we think about all of these justice systems and all of that. I was like, oh, what the hell? Why not we just talk about relief? Justice in team sports. Mm-hmm. Free throw improvements. Believe it or not, that is what really came to mind for me. You know, because when you get put in the situation, that the game is on the line and you don't want to foul your, you know, our opposers' team's best free throw shooter.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So why not try to find a way to find the justice and the relief of putting the pressure off of your best free throw shooter? So today, just want to wrap real quick and just discuss or have a debate on out of the best free throw shooter, who would you pick as the coming down as the closest seconds of the game? So I had two people in mind, and that was Andre Drummond and DeAndre Jordan. Let me share the screen. Give me 1 second here. Anything come up? You see anything there?
Not yet.
See, so yes. Okay.
There we go.
Okay. So, what I got here is the free throw percentage shootings for DeAndre Jordan and Andre Drummond. On my right, so I'm pretty sure it'll probably be everybody else on their left or probably on their right also, but we have DeAndre Jordan.
On our right.
Yeah.
Well, on my right, anyway. On my right.
Yeah, on your right, my right, so it'll be probably everybody else.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
He has a career free throw percentage of 47%. 47%. And Andre Drummond has a career free throw shooting percentage of 46. Both of them at the beginning of their careers shot less than 40% at the line. DeAndre Jordan shot 30% at the beginning of his career. Well, at that season when he was a rookie, 2008-2009 season. Andre Drummond at 2012-2013, at his beginning of his career, he was 37%. Both of them managed to shoot their free throw percentages up to 60% for Andre Drummond when he was playing with the Pistons still. And now to 65% playing for the Lakers. And he made some clutch free throws in a game against the, were they playing overtime? I think it was the New Orleans Pelicans. Made some clutch free throws. So that played a bigger role. And then you got DeAndre Jordan. He sucked, but he still improved with the Clippers. But then he shot down again. But as soon as he left the Clippers, he got better. 68%, 77%, 68%. And since his role got diminished this season, he's down to 50%. But that's still pretty decent. Good free throw for him, regardless. So, with that being said, when you look at this, who would you pick to close out the game?
No doubt. Andre Drummond.
There's I got DeAndre Jordan.
I got Andre Drummond. Ain't no doubt in my mind. I could depend on DeAndre Jordan going to the free throw line and missing, have a higher percentage of missing than Andre Drummond.
I truly believe now. This is why I picked DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan had a different mindset to DeAndre Jordan. I'm sorry, Andre Drummond. DeAndre Jordan was more of the mental. He was mental. He was nervous. He was anxious. So what's the only way that you could do to try to make this better? Improve. Andre Drummond may have had that mindset, but he knew at the end of the day, he still should improve. So you're nervous all the time. You're anxious all the time. You don't want to be part of something you don't want to be part of, like Shaq of the Foot. You don't want to be above it. So you're going to improve every single day. It's just your mindset. That's why I would choose DeAndre Jordan, because he's going to be nervous regardless, rather than the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, or the fourth.
What makes DeAndre Jordan different from Andre Drummond? And the fact of being nervous to be able to perform? What makes them two different?
It doesn't make them two different, but I would just pick DeAndre Jordan because of the fact that it's a mental thing for him to say, oh, I'm going to be nervous all the time, so let me improve. Let me keep improving. Let me keep it improving. That's how it is when you're a bad free throw shooter. If you're bad at something, you're going to fix it to be better. It's the same way with Andre Drummond. It's the same exact way. But I would trust more DeAndre Jordan because he has that mentality to actually sit down and think, hey, rather be the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, you know that you're going to think about your next air ball, if you even think about it. You're going to think about missing that free throw and how to get better. Just that mindset. Now, I'm not saying that Andre Drummond was the same way, but I would just put more of my trust in DeAndre Jordan.
I would put my trust more in Andre Drummond because Andre Drummond get fouled a lot because he's one of the more dominant centers in the NBA. So having the confidence to go to the free throw line, hit or miss free throws, but to be able to consistently go to the free throw line, for me, makes me believe that Andre Drummond would be the person to go to in clutch performances.
And I don't rule past that because he came up clutch in one of those Lakers games against the Pelicans in overtime. He came up clutch. I don't doubt that. At the same time, now that DeAndre Jordan's role has diminished, he had a better, in my personal opinion, this is just in my personal opinion, he has a better approach. Even though that they both get fouled a lot. They both do. They both get fouled and they both go to the free throw line a lot. But now when it comes down to closing games, Andre Drummond does. He'd probably be the one that gets fouled more because he's the worst free throw shooter over DeAndre Jordan. Period. But at the same time, you know that if you're going to pick somebody, who would you foul more in that closing situation? DeAndre Jordan. You're going to foul DeAndre Jordan. Oh, he's going to miss. So let's get him to the foul line. Now that he's improved, they're still going to do it because it's a mind game. Now he's thinking about it. He's going to hit him. That's just how I see in that aspect of how DeAndre Jordan could be just a tad bit different from Andre Drummond. That's how I see it.
I mean, that's fine.
That's how I see it.
I mean, that's fine, but I mean, and I'm not going to disagree with it, but you know, I just trust and believe that Andre Drummond can perform a little bit more better being at the free throw line, being fouled throughout the game anyway. Because you say with DeAndre Jordan, it's a mental thing. With Andre Drummond, it's a physical thing. It's going out there on the court and doing it, and he's out there, he's performing, he's dominating, people foul him because they need to slow him down, so he's going to the free throw line, he's missing some, hitting some, so that makes him more confident towards the end of the game to be able to hit. That's just how I feel.
I mean, it's not like you're putting Shaq on the line, he's going to the line 39 times like he did in the NBA Finals, right?
Neither is DeAndre Jordan.
I mean, I'm just saying in a sense, like, you're picking Shaq, and you're going to the line, it's a hacker Shaq thing. It's not a hacker Andre Drummond or a hacker DeAndre Jordan. It's a hacker Shaq that goes to the line 39 times. You won't see a lot. It's just more of the mental thing because Shaq was more of the bad free throw shooter. And he never really improved on his free throws.
He sure did that game. He had that game because he hit more free throws than he normally would because it was a physical thing. They went after him because they knew that they could get him to miss free throws, but Shaq had to perform in order for him to get to the free throw line and either hit or miss. And he improved gradually, like I'm saying about Andre Drummond.
But that's why Bird didn't want to do it in the first place, because he feared that Shaq was going to improve in more times in that game specifically, and the next game, in the next game after that,
yeah,
in the NBA Finals,
right,
that he would actually go and, you know, hit more than, you know, 20 free throws.
But you know how it goes. You know how it goes. The referees go and they call a foul that may not have been a foul. You know, that's how it goes.
Yeah, just like the Hackensack situation. Just go up and just foul him. Just send him to the foul line. You know, who would you actually pick? And me, I would pick DeAndre Drummond.
I pick Andre Drummond.
I don't deny either one, but I thought that was just something good to bring up because they both improved their free throw shooting.
Yeah.
Dramatically.
No doubt.
From the beginning of their careers.
Yeah.
And they've gotten better. They're both over 60%, maybe even 70%. So that's fair to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I just happened to watch Andre Drummond. I was like, that's interesting. I like to see, you know, how this will work for him because he never played like in for a championship team. So mm-hmm. You know, and now that he's with the Lakers, they're more of a championship team. And he's really learning the gist of playing with champions. He could get a lot more better. Whereas DeAndre Jordan was already in the playoff experience, and he still sucked at the foul line.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows? But, yeah. That's all I got.
All right. We're right back with the final thoughts.
Again. Thoughts, anything?
I do. I just what's
it's amazing on how this connection can suck sometimes.
Yeah, that you are
amazing.
Yeah.
But go ahead, I'm sorry.
I let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
How do you remember what happened when we got bad grades?
We were supposed to get disciplined, but yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
What ended up happening when we got bad grades?
Well, we got punished,
mm-hmm.
grounded,
mm-hmm.
and we was forced to study.
Exactly. We were forced to study. Now, what happened if we got bad grades again?
I believe we got whoopings.
Okay, so then what would we had to have changed out of that situation?
We had to actually study more.
Yes, ma'am.
Or go.
Oh, you can just set it right there.
That's the only thing I think.
Thank you. Is there more boxes? Some. Okay, thank you. Here's the whole gist.
Okay.
It's a cycle. If we fail, let me not say fail. If we got bad grades and if we didn't do what we were supposed to do in school to get good grades, it was this cycle of getting grounded, getting punished, taking the video games away from us to be able to improve. Yeah. And each and every time we did not get better, the video games would get taken away. We would get grounded from playing outside. These are the things, and believe it or not, yes, folks, for those of you that are watching that are not millennials, we had to play outside. We did not have technology.
No, we didn't.
So we did not get to do none of those things because we were forced to study. Why is it that we do not have this mentality with the adults that taught us this? Why is it that the older adults that taught us these things that we need to go out here and that we need to keep protesting. We need to keep talking about it instead of drawing back and saying nothing's never going to happen. What happened to the cycle that you taught us as kids to study? Or we going to take the video game away from you? Or we going to do this until you get better? Why is it that we don't have that mentality anymore?
Right. And like that just really just disappeared. Because it seemed like that they had seen so much of what was going on in their time that nothing changed.
Yeah.
Because they had people speaking out. They had sports phenomena speaking out. They had all kinds of activists speaking out. Mm-hmm. The same ones that's doing it today. And nothing really changed. And so that's what they see. And they have really kind of like just drew back, like you said. Mm-hmm. They just drew back.
And it bugs me that that happens now, because now it's like we have to remind Neil, this is not over.
No.
Something can change if we put in the work to do it. We had to put in the work to study, to get better grades, to get our video games back, to get our privileges to go outside and play.
Exactly.
So why is it that we're not having, why is it that a lot of the older folk just say, you know what, forget it. Nothing's going to happen. And we just need to keep moving forward. No, we need to keep having these discussions. We need to keep talking about everything that is going on right now. Everything.
Because think about this. 3% change is better than zero.
Mm-hmm.
Way better than zero.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you look at your 3%,
mm-hmm.
that has changed from when then what's happening now with their job. That's the beginning.
Yeah.
That begins that percentage cycle. So, that 3% could be just as better as 0%.
Yeah.
Like, nothing ever happened. Now, people can climb into their holes and hide and just never speak on it again. Never speak on it again.
Right.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But that three, I always say, 3% is better than zero.
Mm-hmm.
2% is better than zero.
A percentage is better.
It's better than zero.
Yes. And
it's a gradual improvement. No matter how you want to say it.
Right.
Always a gradual improvement.
And yesterday showed that.
Oh, yeah.
After looking at all of these court appearances are not being charged, something happened. 1% happened.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, let me just shift just a tad bit and say my real final thoughts. To my Christian friends, if any one of you demoralized George Floyd, sit down and reevaluate yourself and take a look in the Bible to remind yourself how to treat people. That's my final thought.
And how to love other people.
Exactly. That's all I have.
Well said. So, I really don't have anything, but before we do get out of here, got to bring something up. The game to watch tonight, Suns and the 76ers. 7 o'clock p.m. tip-off is like 14 minutes from the time of this recording. So, bear that in mind. Suns is 41-16, they're first in the West. And the Sixers are 39-18. They are first in the East. That's the game to watch. And, of course, they're Pacers and Thunder play tonight. They're downtown at 7 o'clock also. I'm going to see and watch them lose also.
Absolutely.
That's going to be the end of that story. So, yeah. That's all I have. So there's nothing else we can wrap this up. Oh, yes.
There it is. It's very thin. It's
dang, if I rip in a matter of seconds.
Man. It's very thin. It is very thin. Yes.
You really can't put nothing heavy in there.
No. Mm-mm. I know what I am going to put in there, but that's about it. But it's very thin.
So now I gotta think about what I wanna put.
It's not your typical Under Armour backpack or nothing like that. So
nah, it's not.
It's very thin. Just throwing that out there, but yeah, it's here.
Alright, cool. Fine. Alright. Whew. We must have waited about what? Almost a month for that?
Almost. It would have been at the end of this month, would have been a whole month.
A whole month.
March 30th.
Alright, so if there's nothing else, you can wrap this bad boy to get on out of here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is another Double Take Sports Talk. Thank you for downloading, tuning, and listening to our podcast. I am Daryl. Demons right across from me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, catch up with another episode of Double Take Sports Talk. Until then,
ciao.
Ciao.